This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. First Friday of the month, and you know what that means, right? Means we get an extra 30 seconds to talk about the week that was. It's not my rule. The producers get to decide. Gina Smilek is at the New York Times. Sudeep Reddy is at Politico. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai. Hey, Kai.
Gina, let me start with you, if I could. And I want to talk about the inflation measure that came out this week, the PCE measure that the Fed likes, as we all know. If you listen to this program, it's the Fed's favorite measure. Here's what I want you to talk about. I want you to talk core PCE, what it is and why it especially matters.
Right. So core PCE is this sort of underlying inflation gauge that is pretty slow moving. And that is why it is basically the Fed's favorite number. It takes out food and it takes out gas, and it basically tracks, you know, a basket of things that people buy in the economy. And so the Fed watches this number very closely. It comes out every month a little bit after the consumer price index numbers, which people might be a little bit more familiar with because they tend to get more headlines because they come out sooner. And so the Fed watches this number really closely, and it has been, and it continued to, consistently sort of trending. It has been consistently trending down over the months. So that is very good news on an annual basis. Unfortunately, on a monthly basis, we saw a little bit of an increase this time. And so I think that the reason that we care so much about that monthly increase is it suggests that what is sort of like happening in the most recent period is that inflation might be not cooling down quite as much as we previously expected, may even be warming back up a little bit. And so I think that's really a trend to watch. It's going to be something that gives Fed officials some pause. It kind of complicates this nice story they had been telling about this real steady, consistent slowdown in inflation.
Sudeep, talk to me about that steady, consistent slowdown. It has been, as we've said on this program, Gina said in the piece, the descent of inflation has been bumpy and it is going to be bumpy. How are we going to know whether it's bumpy on the way down or stuck where it is bumpy, if that makes any sense?
I think one reason why this is confusing right now is because the economy is not going into the toilet. Which is a good thing, obviously.
if the
economy were falling apart, which a lot of people have predicted over the last 2 years as the Fed raised interest rates, the economy would fall apart, demand would fall across the economy, inflation would drop even further, and the end of that parabola would look pretty clear. And instead, the economy is actually, obviously, the job market is surprisingly robust and strong. There are things that are holding up reasonably well, which means that things are going to get bumpy right now. Because if demand for labor is still high, if the lower end of the labor market is tight, that means services inflation is going to be higher. A lot of things are going to, there's just going to be price pressures sticking in there. And so that means that getting it further down is not good. That last bit is going to be harder than people would have thought. But it's in the context of an economy that's holding up reasonably well.
Gina, is it your sense based on your reporting that the Fed is concerned about the bumpiness, or they're like, yeah, no, we knew this was coming?
You know, I think that they knew that it was likely not going to be a completely consistent cool down in inflation. Like, they knew that there were bumps possible. I think that we had had so many months of really good data that there had been some optimism that actually we might sort of be past the point of bumps, that, you know, like we might be reaching this perfect soft landing that happened totally comfortably and we didn't have to worry about the bumpiness. And I think that this really sort of dispels that notion and makes it much less likely that we're just going to have a perfect, easy cool down. And so I think, you know, I think they aren't 100% caught off guard here, but I think they're probably still pretty unhappy about it.
Sudeep, you mentioned the economy doing pretty well, not being in the toilet. In point of fact, we learned this week the economy's in the fourth quarter of last year on an annualized basis, growing at an annual rate of 3.2%, which is quite nice. Thank you very much. It was a touchdown from earlier predictions. Here's my question. Look around the rest of the planet. The U.S. is the developed economy doing the best by miles. How come we're not lifting all the other boats, you know?
That's a good question. We are still obviously a huge anchor of the global economy, and what we buy does drive what's happening in a lot of other places. Everyone seems to have a different set of problems. We're all in a different place, so it's not the big synchronized effect that you see coming out of recessions. You could say this is late stage economic behavior on the global economy. That's certainly what you would assume when you see what's happening in Europe and what's happening in China. But, you know, there are things that are actually going okay in a lot of other places. There's a reason why, you know, Japan is seeing a return of a record stock market after decades.
Yep.
There are places that look a little uplifting. And I think this is going to take years to untangle what's happened in the post-COVID economy. But the entanglement of all of these economies, the separations that we've been forming to not be as reliant on supply chains, not be as reliant on each other, those may be playing some part in this. We don't know yet. It's way too early to make that assessment, but it may be a factor in why we're all operating on slightly different speeds than we might have been at other points in the last two decades.
Yeah, Sudeep, sorry, just sticking with you real quick. What's your concern level over the politics of this economy right now?
You know, there was, we had economic data about the consumer sentiment. It wasn't as strong. It dipped a little bit. I think people still feel a little bit uncertain, but there are two things going on right now. When consumer sentiment might dip a little bit, but also today we saw the headlines that oil has hit $80 mm-hmm. a barrel, first time since November. That is the kind of thing that really weighs on people, particularly as the spring and summer approaches and shapes our own perceptions, even if it's an outsized figure in gases and everything. But it does play into all of the dynamics about economic growth, obviously about inflation. And I think that's a big factor to watch about how people feel in the coming months, as long as the job market holds up.
Gina, oil makes me just think of the word exogenous shocks, right? As the Fed watches this and as consumers watch what's going on, there's a lot happening that maybe we're not entirely in control of.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot that's happening that we're not in control of. I think that exogenous shocks, like sort of the stuff coming from the outside, that matters a lot when you're the Fed thinking about policy and thinking about, like, can we control this inflation? It's a lot less relevant when you're talking about this from a political point of view. You know, like, yeah. You can tell people, oh, we yeah. can't do much about gas and groceries,
right.
At the end of the day, people buy gas and groceries. And so when gas and groceries are becoming a lot more expensive, they feel a lot worse about the world. And so I think that that's sort of the sort of difficulty with this inflationary moment is it can be much more politically damaging.
Yeah, this inflationary moment. Gina Smilek at the New York Times and Sudeep Reddy at Politico on a Friday afternoon. Thanks, you two.
Thanks,
Kai.
Thank you.